We're gonna talk about the Cardinals all night long.
Good evening and welcome into a little bonus edition of Meet Me and Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptoff, C70 the Bad at C70, you know that. Joining me right now, Richard McGill from Richard McGill 89 on Twitter. You know him from the Playing Catch Pod with him and his son Truman. Just wanted to kind of set the stage maybe a little bit, talk about a little bit of the news around the trade deadline that's come out today and how we're seeing things before the Cardinals really start getting into making moves. So, Richard, let's start with the stuff that came out probably last, and that is the fact that the Cardinals apparently looking to extend Jordan Hicks rather than trade him at the deadline. How surprised were you when you heard this report from Kenny Wu?
Very surprised, really, Daniel, and thanks for having me. I thought that he and Montgomery and Flaherty were the for sure three that were going to get traded. I love Jordan Hicks. I think he's been great since he made some adjustments in April, but man, the volatility of relievers and the volatility of Jordan Hicks, I don't know what to think about it. And even if they're interested in keeping them, I don't see what the harm is in getting something for him now and then going back to him in November or December and saying, hey, we want you back. But I was surprised for sure.
I will say, I think that, and you know, Brendan Schaefer's been putting this out there today too, that if you, signing Jordan Hicks right now is a lot cheaper than signing him in the free agent market, sure. Right? Yeah. And once you've traded him, once he's seen another organization, you know, because this is the only organization he knows, and he's indicated he'd like to stay here. But once he's been out in the cold, harsh world, as it were, he may not be as willing to give the Cardinals any kind of break. I also think it's interesting that as Katie followed up, the Cardinals haven't ruled out trading him, right? They said that if they can't get a extension done between now and, you know, next Tuesday, so in the next week, that they will still probably could trade him at that point. So it almost to me feels like the club is trying to get an extension on their terms in a short window, and you know, if it works, great. And if it doesn't, then they can try to get some talent for him.
Yeah, I completely agree. Completely agree. And maybe it's just a smoke screen and hey, we'll take one last shot, but if it doesn't work out, then, you know, he didn't agree, we've got to trade him. Right. I mean, we've seen teams do that. I don't know that that's the case here, but it is, you know, if there's genuine interest, then yeah, you know, make an effort. If it doesn't work out, you know, you've got to, I just think this whole trade deadline is so critical to building 2024. And I don't think it's, you know, I think people expect, hey, we're going to get everything we need for 2024 now. And that's not the case. We talked about it this week that, and I think you guys did on maybe Gateway, but it, you know, a lot of the discussions now may not lead to anything now. They may lead to something this winter. And so, I want to maximize this trade deadline because they haven't had a chance to do this in 15, 20 years.
Right. And I, you know, I was talking with David Jones on text today, and that's that kind of thing I said too, was that, you know, this is hopefully, you hope, the only time you're going to do this for another 15 or 20 years, you know, right. Make the most of it, you know, do what needs to be done, you know, kind of, you know, I'm not saying you tear it all down, but anything that can be traded, you know, probably should be traded. You know, on the flip side of that, and I will say from some point of view, if you think Jordan Hicks has found something, which he obviously has been much better since we were all kind of clamoring him to be DFA'd or sent to the minors earlier in the year. So he's definitely been better. He's definitely got an arm that you don't see on a lot of players. If you think that he's going to be this, you know, like Craig Kimbrell type, you know, that kind of dominant reliever, at least for 4 or 5 years, you know, it would be a little bit frustrating to see him, you know, find that over 2 months, and then you give it up, and then he does it for 4 or 5 more years. So I can kind of see where they're going to, and you know, you do want somebody to be able to close this door, and you know, Helsley and Gallegos definitely can. But if you have all three of them, or you know, that may mean that they trade one of the other two.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know what's the complete thinking is on that, but I feel like they really, it seems like they're just trying to cover every possibility right now.
Yeah. And you know, when I don't think it got enough press when he made some adjustments in April. The thing that I saw talked about the most was just moving from the third base side of the rubber to the first base side. Now that's going to maybe keep him closed a little more. I don't know, but they put him in the low pressure situation, and he made those adjustments. And you know, he's been hit hard a time or two since, but not very often. The walks are down from where they were, at least at the start. They're still high, but the strikeouts are over 15 per 9 innings. I mean, that's exactly what they're looking for. So I understand, especially if they believe in the mechanical or at least the adjustment of how he's keeping his mechanics in check based on where he's at on the pitching rubber, then, you know, you need strikeout pitching. That's what they're finally admitting. They admitted it this winter, but they're admitting it now. They know they're looking for pitching. And so, Truman's very much of the belief. When I got home, he said something along the lines, if they keep Hicks, then he thinks they're dealing both Gallegos and Helsley. And so maybe they're getting more interest in those two because they've got a year of control left. And so maybe the ask on Hicks is too high for what they're receiving. And so keep one of them for sure. And maybe try to move the other two. I don't know, but it's scary in a way that if they do trade him and maybe Gallegos, and you mentioned Helsley's injuries, who's going to be in the bullpen right next year?
Right.
Zach Thompson. I don't know what they've done to him this year, but you're running out of names. And so I think that's another thing, is let's get some certainty somewhere. So that's one less thing of the 20 we've got to take care of this winter.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. And I don't think I would not expect them to trade both of those guys.
No, I wouldn't
think
either.
They would, but especially Helsley. With Helsley, I mean, they moved into the 60 day this week, which does not, I mean, he's still going to come off. I think he's due to come off like a week after the deadline. I don't know that you can get the value for him,
exactly,
having not pitched for a while, right, and you know, being hurt. So I feel like you hold on to him at least to the winter, but probably, you know, if you have Helsley in the eighth and Hicks in the ninth, or vice versa. I mean, the Cardinals have done pretty well over the last couple of years with Gallegos and then either Hicks or Helsley being a guy that, you know, can be the closer if the main closer has to take the day off, you know, has pitched 2 out of 3 days or something of that nature.
Yeah.
They've got arms that they can trust in the ninth inning. So I think they probably want to keep both of those, but yeah, I mean, honestly, you're right. I think that, if they sign Hicks to an extension, that does increase the likelihood that Giovanni Gallegos goes somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think he's been forced into several different types of roles this year. I mean, he's closed some. He's been a multi-inning guy. And really, I think that there's been 4 or 5 really bad games. You know, and last night I think was just magnified even more because it cost Wainwright the win 199. But, I mean, Gallegos has been tremendous since he's come over from the Yankees. And I think his option next year is in the $5 million range, maybe a little higher than five and a quarter, something like that. So I could see them making him available for sure, just because of, hey, we might clear out that $5 million. We, you know, maybe we can get something from them. You know, 4 or 5 bad games in a season isn't terrible. I mean, relievers are relievers for a reason. They're not
right
good enough to be starters. So, you know, not everybody can be Mariano Rivera. And Gio's done a great job since he's been here, but I mean, I think they move at least one of those three guys. And Hicks was always just, like I said, a given until today. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's that and what Katie mentioned earlier on O'Neill is we're kind of two curveballs that maybe she picked up from Waino last night that I was not expecting today.
Yeah, let's shift gears then to Tyler O'Neill as you brought him up. Like you said, Katie mentioned today that the Cardinals are not necessarily going to trade him at the deadline, that they are thinking that his value is too low right now because he's been hurt, he hasn't been able to do as much, and they're looking to probably at least keep him throughout the rest of the year. Now, from what I understand, and I didn't read the chats, but I saw somebody reference it, Derek Gould kind of, I don't want to say push back because I don't think it contradicted what Katie said, but did say that O'Neill is still on the block. He's still on the trading block. I've always thought that one of the main reasons they would trade O'Neill is because the relationship was fried. But if, mm-hmm. you know, if they're willing to keep him again, maybe that's not as much as I thought it was. Does keeping Tyler O'Neill make sense to you?
Yes and no. I mean, I get that his value is the lowest it's been. And, mm-hmm. I mean, we've just seen since the start of the Chicago series when they activated him, we've seen a little bit of, I don't think he's hit a home run, but, I mean, the big hit last night in the ninth. And, you know, he's moving well. He looks better in the outfield than he did at the start of the year. So he's moving well. He's taken some walks. He's had good at-bats. And so, you know, you see those flashes of, man, what if, you know, what if it was 2021 again? And he's not going to get that value back by any means. I think the biggest thing for me is when they started the year and they had five outfielders, nobody could get a footing. And I just don't see how they can get past this deadline and still have Carlson, Newt, O'Neill, Walker, and Burleson on the everyday roster. There's just not enough at-bats, and I think you've got to move somebody. Now, I'm a big Carlson fan. I think he's a guy that should be the center fielder every day. And he's kind of been pushed aside since O'Neill's come back a little bit. Mm-hmm. Defensive replacement, we've seen that a couple of times since Tyler's been activated. And it's like, why would you move him? His value's kind of low. And you're not even playing him every day. So, and maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's their way of shopping him to say, hey, he's, you know, we don't really have room for him if you want him. So, I, you know, 24 years old, 3+ years of control left, hasn't been what we expected, you know, when he was the AA player of the year. But, and we've seen flashes, but he's just not where he needs to be. And I think some of that's playing time. So, again, you get to where's the time going to come? They're obviously 100% in on Newt. Gould's reported it for sure over and over that he's one of the four untouchables with Goldschmidt, Arenado, and Walker. So, I don't know. I mean, are you sold on this outfield that hasn't produced and making sure that two of them are keepers out of four people? I don't know. I see the value in trying to, or I see the reasoning in trying to get more value out of O'Neill. But I don't know what they're doing. And again, that's Katie reporting what she's heard. That's great. I'm glad you brought that up about Derek, because I was trying to follow along at lunch with that, and I saw him push back several times against that. And it's almost, I think she was tweeting that while the chat was going on, so he didn't see it. He's obviously going to go off whatsoever printed in the Post-Dispatch, and so he kept saying, no, this is what we're reporting. And I don't know that anybody came out and said, hey, Katie's saying this, and I know they've got a good relationship, but he was pushing back on it. That's a definite. So I'm glad you said that. But, you know, I think she's obviously got an ear or a source in the clubhouse, because to have those two things come out today, Katie's obviously great. She's not making things up. She's hearing these things. Now, that's not to say that any of it's going to come to fruition or come true, but I 100% believe that what she put out there today was definitely fed to her by somebody in the know.
Yeah. Yeah. Katie definitely seems to have a little bit different sources than, or at least than maybe Derek or even Jeff Jones or something. Cause we do seem to hear things from her that Olivia a little bit earlier than you do from the other two at times. I don't know if that's, she's developed her own sources or the fact that she's with the Athletic, you know, obviously there's a lot of established writer like Ken Rosenthal of those kind of people that maybe he's been able to, you know, help her find those sources or have those connections. I don't know. I'm sure it's some of both. Cause Katie does amazing work all the time.
Yeah.
I think that again, I don't know that this idea is necessarily, I wonder some of that, you know, I don't think they're contradictory, because I do think that you could be saying, we don't really want to trade Tyler O'Neill,
right?
But we're listening. But I also wonder if it's a little bit of a, you know, marketing ploy to let that out there and say, hey, we're not necessarily going to, we don't have to give this guy away. So the teams don't come in necessarily with their low ball offer. I don't know. I don't know how much negotiating happens in the press. I know it doesn't, not very much in St. Louis usually, because usually we don't hear about stuff. Right. I don't know, you know, with the metrics, with everything, you know, I mean, everybody's got, you know, kind of knows what these players are, right? I don't know how much they even necessarily look at the results at times. But I do think that, yeah, I think that they're not going to trade Tyler O'Neill for a, you know, quad A pitcher that, you know, may go back and forth between Memphis and St. Louis. I do think, though, that if they keep Tyler O'Neill and if they keep Dylan Carlson, because like you said, there's a lot of talk about Carlson, who has the same kind of thing with lower value. But that seems to be a lot of people, especially in the national media, thinking that he needs to or will be or could be traded, which I think is mainly speculation. But I feel like one of those guys has to go this winter, right? I mean, you can do whatever you want to with these outfielders for the next 2 months, but you can't start 2024 with this same outfield glut.
Yeah, I think that's the case for the outfield. I think it's the case for the middle infield. And I think that some moves surrounding the middle infield may have looked different come this, you know, this trade deadline, if Edmund and Donovan were both healthy. You know, maybe Edmund gets dealt. Now, Gould's a guy that really believes Edmund's not on the table at all. I think he should be, just based on, you know, two more years of control, you know, Gold Glove, second baseman, you know, speed, can really fill in at center if you need to, shortstop, second, whatever, anywhere, basically. I'm surprised he hasn't pitched yet. But so I honestly thought he would get moved prior to the injury. Donovan, again, Gould really thinks that he's a keeper. But you can't keep Edmund, Gorman, Donovan, DeYoung, and Wynn going into next year. You know, DeYoung is a guy that maybe gets moved now. But then you're kind of stuck with not many guys that can play shortstop right now. So I think that's another thing. I think some things really need to shake out to free up playing time in both the outfield and middle infield, because it ultimately those extra guys are not going to get enough time, even with the DH.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very true, and especially depending on the catcher situation, which we're not really going to dive into, but that Dustin also kind of messes around with that DH spot, too.
Thanks, Bob Nightingale, yeah.
Yeah. Dane Perry had a thing, I think it was this week, maybe sometime late last week, I guess, on his Substack, which, again, everybody should be subscribed to, making the case that, having Paul DeJong for next year is not the worst possibility, which I think has some merit. I know that we've seen that the Cardinals are shopping him. We also saw that a place that a lot of people thought he was going to in Los Angeles picked up a player today in Hernandez that plays shortstop. So it seems like that door probably has closed, right? So do you think there's enough of a market with the Dodgers seemingly out of the picture to trade Paul DeJong, or do you think they just keep him and then, you know, sort out the whole mess this winter?
You know, I kind of agree with Dane that, and now, and this kind of goes back to, okay, you move Edmund. I think you have to keep one of those two guys, because as much as Mason Winn is looking like a star over these last 2 months, we saw exactly what can happen with a star prospect when Walker came up and he started to struggle. They wanted to make some changes. They had to send him back down. Well, you've got to have somebody that can cover shortstop that's not Jose Fermin. And you know, Fermin is fine if he's going to be, well, I don't know if he's fine, but I'm okay if he's in a utility role. I don't want him as a starter for several weeks or a month or two. And so I saw it as kind of the, you move the guy that's got value. And I love Edmund. I think everybody does. I don't like seeing him bat left-handed that often. But, you know, great, great guy. Teammates love him. Versatility, speed, all that. But I think they've got to keep one of those two. And but I think that Wynn is the guy that they need to give the most time to next year. And I thought he did as well, maybe even a little better than Walker in spring training. It kind of got overshadowed by Walker.
Yeah.
But Wynn really seemed to pick up when the better pitchers were pitching more often too, which is what I liked, and started slow in Memphis, but came on. So, you know, I think Gorman and Donovan are best at second base, and honestly, Edmund is too defensively. Edmund can cover short, DeJong's at short, and then Wynn's at short. So you kind of have 2.5 guys for each position, and yeah, maybe Gorman's the DH some, but honestly, I think everybody wants pitching. You're not going to get the pitching that they need from trading Jordan Montgomery or Jack Flaherty or Jordan Hicks. If you're going to get a number two type of starter, it's going to hurt, and it's going to take one of those guys. And I want one of those players. I want one of those pitchers, but I'm glad I'm not the one making the decision of who to trade, because if it's Gorman or Donovan, it's going to hurt, and it's going to hurt bad. But or even Carlson. He doesn't have the value that those two do, but probably next in line based on contract and age. So it's going to hurt. I'm less confident that any of those guys are moved, especially in middle infield. Maybe one of the outfielders is moved at the deadline. But yeah, that glut in both the outfield and middle infield needs to be sorted out, and we don't need to go into another season of, hey, we're just going to rotate 5 guys here and 4 guys in the middle infield, and it's great having the depth and everything will work out, because it didn't work this year.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about, you know, we focus so much on the trade deadline, which is especially this year with the Cardinals selling and things of that nature. You got to remember, especially if you're going to be trading a Gorman or something like that, you're much more likely to get those kind of returns in the offseason, right? When you can trade with 30 teams, or, you know, you can trade with a team that, you know, could give you that pitching but can't do it right now because they're in a pennant race. But, you know, if you're talking about preparing for next year, then maybe you can make a deal like that. Somebody big like that, I would be surprised if there's a deal like that out there that Mo does. I mean, he could, but like you said, trying to rebuild this rotation for next year, if they can get a, you know, even if they get a fourth starter, you know, and make sure Matt stays at five, that's great. And then they can maybe make that trade in the offseason and sign a free agent. And then you've got a fairly good rebuilt roster. And then hopefully some of the trade pieces that you pick up here are the depth that you need.
Yeah. I think that's the clear path and the most likely path, what you just described. I think that's how it probably will play out. Because I don't think you're getting that top of the rotation guy now. There's no, the teams that have them are the teams that are competing, you know? Right. And so, everybody keeps pointing to Seattle and I have for several months, but I just, I don't think that's realistic. And we did kind of some mock trades on our latest episode and we prefaced it saying, this is for fun. But it was also to show how much those kind of deals would hurt based on what we thought would have to be given up. So now getting back to DeJong, Kike Hernandez is familiar to the Dodgers. They know he's going to be a good fit in the clubhouse. He hasn't had a good season at all and did play a lot of shortstop for the Red Sox, I believe. Has a 280 on base percentage. I don't know how much he's going to help unless he's just rejuvenated somehow, and anything can happen for 2 months. But I thought the return was interesting, and I'm not a minor league expert, but I've seen several that show that they got two guys that will be in the Boston bullpen next year. Now, I mean, if you could get two decent, solid bullpen guys out of DeJong, I think you've got to do that. Again, he's got less value than any of the others, but now that Hernandez has gone to LA, I don't know who needs him. Maybe LA still does. Hernandez was a utility guy when he was there. He's kind of done that a little bit in Boston, and DeJong slides into short. I don't know, but I can't remember where Sherman had him, but in my mock draft that we did involving DeJong, I had him going to LA. So that shoots that to pieces. So
yeah, and it is. I don't know. I don't know what else. I think most likely now, if you take DeJong, he gets traded because he's a bat off the bench, less than being a shortstop, although that's helpful. And he can play third and, you know, probably some first and second. I don't know. We've never seen him do that, but probably can.
He played third and second in the minors before he came up to St. Louis. So it's been a while, but I'm sure the Dodgers threw Trey Turner over to second when he hadn't played it when they got him before. Yeah. So teams will get creative if they can get a bat they want. And, kind of like Hicks, I am a believer in the adjustments that DeJong's made. I mean, I think what we see now is kind of what he is, but he doesn't have the prolonged slumps that he had. He's keeping his head on the ball longer, and it gives him more time to decide whether to attack the ball or not. And so we've seen a little better strike zone judgment and swinging. So I'm sure he's attractive to some teams, but I do think that leading team that would have been interested in him may not be now.
Yeah. Yeah. We see. So, to wrap this up, just overall, we've seen just a couple of trades. Like I said, the Braves picked up some relievers. We saw the Boston LA trade today. There hasn't been like a flood of movement yet, but what does anything that's happened make you think that, hey, the returns are going to be better, or hey, the returns aren't going to be there, or this isn't going to be the trade deadline that we thought it was going to be? Overall, what does the market look like to you?
I still think it's going to be a better seller's market than we've seen in a long time. And I think that added wild card plays a part in it. And I think you also have teams that aren't even in the wild card now. They're close enough, like the Mets and the Padres. I mean, I think they're 6 and 7 games out of the wild card coming into today, something like that. But they also spent so much money, and they're not just going to turn around and tear it down either. Mm-hmm. That I just think, you know, the sellers are your Colorados and your Washington Nationals and your Oakland A's, and they don't have much to sell. So I think that, you know, I think a team to really keep an eye on is the Cubs with Stroman and Bellinger both. I mean, that's, you know, Stroman competes in the market against Flaherty and Montgomery. Bellinger does with whoever the Cardinals are shopping from an outfield perspective. So, but they're 5 games out of the wild card, I think. And so, you know, I know Ben Fred said that maybe the Cubs did the Cardinals a favor in winning 3 out of 4 and forced them into selling, but maybe they did the Cardinals a favor by winning 3 and staying in it and not dealing their 2 most marketable guys. So I really think the return will be there higher. And again, I'd love to have 2 solid relievers for DeJong if they move him. And so I don't think that we've seen enough to really judge the returns yet, you know, on Fujinami or whoever from Oakland. They've all been minor pieces that have been moved, but I do think there's just not going to be that many sellers, and there's so many teams that are, you know, 20 teams that are still in the playoff race, and so that's a lot of teams vying, and everybody needs pitching. I mean, there's not a team that doesn't need pitching. So you look at a Baltimore that's got one of the ripest young farm systems and young players on their roster, or you know, some other, LA is another example. They need starting pitching, so, and they've got tons of young arms, and so I think the Cardinals will do well with Montgomery and Flaherty, but what's done past that, it's anybody's guess after today.
Yeah, there's you never know exactly what it's going to be like. So, all right, well, hopefully we're, like I said, we're back on Friday, that I'm hoping to have little short shows like this anytime the Cardinals make a move. Hopefully they make them scattered out and not just one big day of moves, in which case it'll be a much longer show, I guess. But Richard, I thank you for joining me kind of last minute tonight to break this down. And and folks, if you haven't, like I said, the last Playing Catch Pod was all about various trades, which were very interesting to listen to. So give that a listen if you haven't. But until next time, whenever that may be, for Richard, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Is there any point where that...
Well, I think right now I can tell you that we're going to trade people. I just don't know if it's going to be like household names or more of guys that just aren't likely going to be here next year.